You're listening to Casual Talk Radio, where common sense is still the norm. Whether you're a new or longtime listener, we appreciate you joining us today. Visit us at casualtalkradio.net. And now, here's your host, Leister.
Identity politics. Not just politics, identity politics. The term for today, the term I need to just waste time. It's a waste of time, but it's important that I put a voice to it as somebody who is now clearer as to the problems that occurred that resulted in November 5th. And I'm not talking about the result. I'm talking about the reaction to said result. It's bizarre. People like myself that sit over in a corner and watch some of the reaction, and we don't understand. We don't get it. We don't get why it's gotten to the point that humans can trigger, that's the word, trigger people so fervently. And I struggled it, and then I heard identity politics, something I'm familiar with, but I didn't expect that human beings, normal human beings, would be brought to their knees by such a concept. I assumed that this would just be a foregone something. I did not think that this would ever happen, and then it happened. So I want to talk about this notion of identity politics because it came up recently with William Shatner and Whoopi Goldberg, both of them embroiled in controversy that has brought some of the internet a little bit to its knees. I'm not going to talk about the impending rumors about World War III. I thought about it, but I figured the identity politics is worth talking about because at least there's something there. You know, the World War III, I don't think there's anything. I understand why they're saying it, but I also think there's a bit of fear-mongering about it. If you didn't know, by the way, welcome, because if you don't follow social media, kudos to you if you don't. But let's start with William Shatner. William Shatner, of course, he's known for a lot of stuff. He's been in a lot of movies for decades. This is a legend in acting. He also has his own CDs, and they're mostly speaking. He's speaking while over a track. William Shatner, he's Canadian, and I'm pretty sure he moved to Canada to live full time. I can't say that for sure, but I was pretty sure he did. But he's Canadian. He was recently on Bill Maher's show. Bill Maher, if you don't know, because you don't watch it, kudos to you for that one, has been schooled by Megyn Kelly. If you don't know who she is, don't worry about it. It's not important for this conversation, but schooled by Megyn Kelly on a repeated basis about, see, Bill Maher is one of those, I don't want to call him centrist because he's absolutely not centrist. He's a contrarian, I guess is the best description. He is the kind of person, he'll put something out there simply to have a contrarian point of view for conversation reasons, but he believes what he believes in. I think he's kind of calmed down a little bit. I don't think he's anywhere near what he used to be. But Megyn Kelly had to school him about things that were and were not said from President-elect Donald Trump. And I think it got through. He was on an interview recently with William Shatner. This was last week. And William Shatner was talking about how he didn't understand. He literally said, I don't understand how Democrats lost. And Bill's trying to explain kind of what the thought is. And there are some on the Democrat spectrum who have openly said, we want to try to understand. So I want to hear from people. To her credit, Ocasio-Cortez, as nutcase as she's been, opened up her social media to try to listen and understand. If you voted for me and voted for Trump, I want to hear why. And most of the responses are, you guys are a lot alike in terms of wanting to push change. We want change. We want something different. At the end of the day, it's we want something different than the same old, same old. So in other words, they don't want status quo. They want something different than status quo. Now, I would argue she has not advocated for anything that would be immediately better for the vast majority. She has argued for things that would be better for a certain segment. Rumor was that she was pregnant, which gave her a different insight than what she had before, and that was the result. That was what caused her shift. I can't say because I wasn't the one that impregnated her, nor was I in that room. Regardless, that's the message. So when Shatner says he doesn't understand how they lost, and Mayer's trying to explain this to him in what he believes, and he's ultimately saying what everybody else is saying is that, you know, people see that it's not, well, nothing's good, and she wasn't a good candidate. Kamala was not a good candidate. You heard, anybody listen to me for a while heard me say, she's not a good candidate. She's the underdog. I've said that repeated times. Nobody listened, and I actually have senators listen to one of the shows. So I knew there's people out there that's got the ear, and I'm a small platform, but I want to put my voice to it that she was an underdog. I emphasize, she is an underdog. I said that months before the election. She is an underdog because she focused on very specific issues that were not the predominant issues affecting all of American society. She never once talked about improving the economy. In fact, she made it sound like the economy was fine. She never talked about fixing the immigration issue. She never talked about what she would do to resolve the world issues going around. So I knew she's an underdog because she's not speaking to the regular American population. She's speaking to the small subset, and I'm sorry, but they are a small subset of the greater population. That's just facts. That's how it works. Again, I was poli-sci. That's how it works. It's a numbers game. So when you speak to people, you've got to speak to all of them, not just the ones that you favor. That's why she lost, which is why I knew she was going to lose. And I was never wavering in the thought she's got no shot. Biden had no shot. Biden would have performed worse than Kamala, I would argue. What saved Kamala from a complete blowout was the female vote and the subset of people that supported what she supported. But that was never going to be enough to beat Donald Trump, especially not when the man got shot at multiple times. You try to assassinate the dude, he automatically is going to get sympathy votes, if nothing else. He took dominance on the Latino vote. A good case was made on talk shows around the idea. It's like, think about it. Why would Latinos support a man who said they're all rapists, they're all murderers? Because if you have these illegals coming in, those illegals are going to be taking jobs from legitimate Latino citizens who came here the right way or were born here, and they see their jobs are at jeopardy and they don't think it's fair. They might be sympathetic, but they don't want those people taking their jobs. They know how hard it is already. The other side never reconciled this. So Bill's trying to break down at the end. She wasn't a good candidate. Shatner says something to the effect of, well, she had all the traits. I mean, she's black, she's woman. And at that point, he had lost all credibility with the vast majority of America that supported him otherwise, because he said the wrong things. And Bill called him out. He said, that's identity politics. Yes, we're tribal, but that doesn't make a candidate. That is, I loved the fact that Bill called it out, despite his nutcaseness sometimes. And that is exactly why she lost. Because the people who were screaming for her to win are only concerned about what is referred to as identity politics. She's black, so we should vote for her. That's what got Obama in office. She's a woman, so that's what we should vote for her. That's what got Hillary the popular vote. That, certainly, there's a subset of people who that's all they care about is identity politics. Ronald Reagan was an actor. He got in there. Arnold Schwarzenegger was an actor. He gets elected governor in California, on and on and on. Identity politics are a thing, but it has never been a sustainable or successful thing. It's always been about the policies. The policies have to be sound. The policies have to speak to everybody. The policies have to be sustainable. And the policies have to be, you have to be able to validate that you succeeded in what you said you were going to do. None of which applied with Kamala Harris. She didn't have anything she said that justifies support. So when I heard Shatner say openly what nobody else is brave enough to say, all he thought about is she's black and she's a woman, thus we should be giving her a chance. Identity politics, regardless of the fact that she's inept, and that's The Economist saying that, not me. As a candidate, she has no policy strength. She doesn't say anything to help the greater American people. She doesn't do anything to benefit the country, just because, again, I said it on a couple of episodes. What they want is first woman president, first black woman. That's what they want. That's what Time magazine, with Hillary Clinton saying Madam President during the campaign trail, skewing people's mind to thinking that this is the way we should do. That's election interference by its finest, because what you're doing is you're influencing people to vote a certain way, which is why she won the popular vote, because they influenced people to think that was the right answer. Meanwhile, we ignore policies. We ignore the truths that happened as a result of the Obama administration, later the Biden administration, that put us in a damaging situation that rhymes. And we now have wartime situation, Biden authorizing long-range missiles from sponsored by NATO, and Putin saying that's an act of war. You're basically bringing you into the war if you do that. And he's doing it on the way out. Why? Because he knows he has to leave. It's like the whole analogy made. You have a renter, they trash the place on their way out. That's what it is. Because it's a temper tantrum. They didn't get their way. They couldn't sell the narrative of black woman president. They couldn't sell. And the messaging that nobody got a chance to know who she was. Pelosi said that. How can that be when she's been vice president for 4 years? We know the game. The game is that the vast majority of people who voted realized it's not about identity politics anymore. Identity politics does not put more money in your pocket. Identity politics does not educate your kids any better. Identity politics does not put us back on track as a country. Listening to the Greta Thunbergs of the world doesn't do any of the above either. It has to be around strong policy. So Bill Shatner's been getting attacked for his theory. And listen, rightfully so, because that's not, if that's what he thought, and chances are it is, and chances are the vast majority of those pissed off, that's what they thought. We should just do a black woman president just because. Screw policies, screw damage, economic damage, screw the fact we're all struggling. We should just do it because she's a black woman. She's a, you know, reparations, right? No. Sorry, no. Well, then Whoopi Goldberg. And she did this. She is very slick with this silver-tongued. I don't watch The View. I just see the fallout after the fact. Somebody brings it to my attention. But she's on The View. She took over as the senior person. She's openly said she doesn't want to do it. She doesn't want to keep doing it. She would quit if she could, but she can't give up the millions. I understand. She apparently had I think it was her 60th birthday or something, and she wanted to order some cupcakes that were her mother's favorite cupcakes from Charlotte Russe. And she told a story instead of just, let's go with it. We're here. I've got it. Let's do it. Whatever. She slipped in this story that claimed that she was refused. This bakery refused to make it when her spokesperson contacted the store on her behalf. That because it was her, the bakery refused to bake it. And then she said, I know it's not because of gender, because it's a female-owned business. So I can only assume, this is her, I'm paraphrasing, but that's basically what she said, I can only assume it's because of my politics, my political beliefs. But that's okay. We're here now. I'm not going to name the store. We got the cupcakes. We're here now. Let's celebrate. Then why slip the freaking story in there? Because you're trying to say, it's called an appeal. It's a fallacy. It's an appeal to controversy. It's an appeal to conspiracy. It's an appeal to fear. It's an appeal to emotion. It's fallacy. Fallacy after fallacy of what you're doing. We know what you're doing. The same thing that they've always done is say a bunch of stuff to trigger people that are listening to them instead of just focusing on, okay, I got them, because she got them. What she said was somebody else called without mentioning it was Whoopi the next day and they got the cupcakes. So she made a leap to assume that it was somehow biased against her. She didn't think it was because she was black. She assumed it's because of politics. So you didn't use the race card. You couldn't use the gender card. So you turned to politics because we're fresh off the election. Again, she's very silver-tongued in how disreputable she has put herself out to be. That's literally what it is. The bakery, she didn't name them. The bakery came out and said, I'm the one. I ran the store that she's talking about. Here's what really happened. When they called, the boiler had broken down. I told her I'm not comfortable with this size of an order at this time until I get the boiler back up and running. The next day, the boiler was up and running. When they called again, okay, I can do the cakes because the boiler was up and running. There's no controversy here. She's misrepresenting and twisting what truly happened. This had nothing to do with the politics. That person, the cake baker, in fact, I'm pretty sure, either chose not to vote or voted independent. One of the two where it's like, well, I'm not a Trump supporter. I'm not nothing. I don't care. I think she said, I'm not even going to vote either way or something. The point is, yes, it was down when when Whoopi's people called, and then it was fine the day after that. It's a day later. That happens. It's normal. It's in the retail. People come out, city officials, this is New York, city officials, people online, everybody that saying, Whoopi, you should apologize to this woman. You could have shut her business down. Now, a lot of people came to the business in support. They've gone to buy some of these cakes and they've tried these Charlotte Russe or whatever cakes and they are supporting the bakery. So she's okay. But again, it's the perception, especially when you have that baker out in Colorado who refused, that person refused to bake a cake for a gay couple. But he didn't refuse to bake any cake. He refused to bake a cake that was contrary to his beliefs. He said, you can choose any cake that's out here on the stands. I'll cook any cake that does not have anything that contradicts my beliefs. So I will support you, but I'm not going to do something that's against my beliefs. This, you're not going to dictate to me exactly how I do my business, but I will give you a cake that's on the shelf, or I'll bake you one that has no message, because it had to do with the gay marriage. He was against the gay marriage. That's what it is. Religious people, some are against gay marriage. So what? Trust me, I know many religious people who are adamantly against gay marriage. I know many gay people who have told me stories. No, trust me, I know that they claim to be religious and they, trust me, hate gay, da 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 da. So I know what it is. That's why I understood when the baker said, I'll do anything you want as long as it doesn't violate my religion. Some are just very strong in the religious where they will not do that. That baker got attacked. That baker got attacked repeatedly. I think they're still being attacked. Attacked, attacked, attacked. In this case, it had nothing to do with anything other than random happenstance that was not worth leveling to that effect where she just didn't even need to tell the damn story. She already had the cupcakes. Like it's gone. It's done. Just move on with the celebration like you said. But we knew what she was doing. She's trying to trigger people fresh off the election. This is what caused Kamala to lose, that type of narrative, that kind of messaging, that kind of approach. You call this side over here Nazis and Hitler and everything else, yet you're willing to tell a false story, a lie, to try to shut an innocent bakery down over some freaking cupcakes. You who make millions of dollars at your quote job, and you're willing to shut them down, and she's struggling to make ends meet as a regular business owner. That's where we're at. That's the message that caused people to wake up and not vote that way, and instead say, this is all fake. MSNBC just put out a message. I forget the name of the show. It's a husband and wife or whatever on MSNBC. They were attacking Trump for 8 years, attacking the man. They were the ones calling him Hitler and everything else. Just put out a thing saying, yeah, we reached out to Trump and we met him at Mar-a-Lago and it's a great conversation. Yeah, because your ratings are in the crapper, because all of that rhetoric and things you were doing just exposed you. It exposed who you really are, and you're hurting on ratings. And now you have to bow down because the man won. All of these are doing everything they can to salvage what they claim they've lost. And there are people that woke up and said, this isn't the right answer. Identity politics is the idea that all you care about, it's a Chewbacca in a way. All you care about is what you see, that it's somebody that's like you, sounds like you, talks like you, looks like you, acts like you do or would. That's identity politics. AOC got in because of identity politics. People that like that kind of action, and she's been completely ineffective since she got in there. That's your taxpayer money that's paying that. Many people don't understand how your tax money is misused by the government because they don't understand it. They don't get angry about that. Instead, they get angry about silly stuff like something Donald Trump did 15 years ago, for example. That's the world that we went to. And the reason why some of us that are kind of in the middle where we don't care. It's just, I care about the policy here, man. It's, we don't have time for this people nonsense and kids ratting back and forth. We don't care about it. I really don't. And many don't. And I think we as a collective just got a clue that why, who care? And you'll hear me frequently say, it's not about the person. It's about the policy. Because it's always been about the policy, and the policy has been disregarded for many years. It started, arguably, when Barack Obama went in office. He was not focused on policy. he was focused on identity politics, keeping him going. People liked him. A black man, he's dancing on Ellen DeGeneres, he's singing, you know, whatever. That's what they focused on, not policy. Because if you looked at his policy, there was nothing he really did that was strongly a benefit to you and I. Don't say Obamacare, because if you recently got a quote for that business, you'll have seen that the copay or the monthly premium, $800 a month, $900 a month, for what? For something that you infrequently use. That's not benefiting you. And then saying no tax on the middle class. And then it turns out to be an excise tax. He lied. Well, we got to pay for it somehow. And people took too long to wake up from that. Then you have Joe Biden, who was basically dragged into office. He didn't campaign strong. Bernie Sanders campaigned stronger than him. Tulsi Gabbard campaigned stronger than him. The same Tulsi Gabbard who then aligned with Trump later. Those two campaigned way stronger than Biden, but they were made to quit when Biden didn't have campaign. Now Biden has to step down. He's campaigning. He wants to stay in the race. I said he's not going to have a chance. He's made to step down. And instead of putting it to the people, and if you're one that would have supported Joe Biden, it's up to you to have voted for who you believed was going to be a better candidate to go against Donald Trump. You never got a chance to do that because they just drafted Kamala Harris. And I would argue, and I can't say it's 100%, but I would argue that some of them might have even wanted something physically to happen to Joe Biden so Kamala would be elevated to presidency. I can't say that's the truth, but how else can you explain the rush to judgment to put her in when she was not a solid candidate, never had been a solid candidate? The bottom line is they chose the wrong people to fight Donald Trump. And the people that were in support right now of Kamala Harris, they were not supporting Kamala. They were against Trump, just like before. But this time it didn't work. This time the trap, it was not successful in trapping people. And they woke up. And identity politics is I would argue it's the most dangerous thing I've seen in recent years. And I've seen a lot of crap. This is the most dangerous thing I've seen in recent years. That a celebrity, or celebrities, plurix, I'm pretty sure a lot of them do. But that she's black, that's a reason we should vote for her. That it's a woman, that's a reason we should vote for him. So what we're saying is people who are not black are not qualified. People who are not a woman are not qualified. How can somebody look themselves in the mirror and justify that thought process? I know the answer. I'm asking it facetious. I know the answer. The answer is because there are some people, all they care about is the participation trophy of it. Some people should just get a chance. You know, women have not had a chance to serve. You're right. They've not had a chance to serve in the main seat. You are correct. That has nothing to do, I argue, has nothing to do with we're just an anti-woman society like Barack Obama said. Rather, there has not been a woman who has been a strong enough candidate to even compete at that level yet. Doesn't mean they're not out there, but there has not been one to compete at that level yet. Just look no further than the Senate. Liz Warren, could you imagine her being president? No. Pelosi, could you imagine her being president? No. You damn sure couldn't imagine AOC. Jayapal, no. None of them. So if you can't pick any of them that are already in Congress and say to your mind, this is a strong candidate for the big seat, how can you justify rushing somebody else into the big seat? Kamala wasn't qualified to even be vice president. But that's unfortunately the reality. And historically, we've not had, other than maybe Tulsi Gabbard, I'll give her the swing. Other than that, we have not had strong women candidates to begin, ones that wanted to try. Hillary was not a strong candidate. She was not. She never would be. Linda McMahon, I can maybe, but I wouldn't vote for her, but I can see how she would be a stronger candidate, how she presents, how she delivers, the kinds of things she would talk about, policies and things. Hillary is not a strong candidate. All Hillary had was anti-Trump rhetoric. Tulsi Gabbard was a strong candidate. She's tried a couple times. She got okey-doked multiple times, which I would argue is the reason she jumped ship and became an independent. because she didn't go full Republican last I checked, but she certainly is not Democrat anymore like she was. How can you explain that? How can you explain the strong ones go away from being on the Democrat side? Look no further than the Bernie Sanders of the world, the Andrew Yangs of the world, who are openly telling you the party's lost its way. This is not what the Democratic Party should be about. It should not be about identity politics. It shouldn't be about attacking Trump. It should be having a strong position, the right policies, and be in support of the working class, most important. Support of the working class doesn't mean a rush to climate change because Greta Thunberg is screaming in the corner. Support of the middle class is understanding that EVs are arguably 3 times more expensive than what we had before. Nobody disagrees that we should wean ourselves off of an excessive reliance on oil. Nobody disagrees this, but hybrid was the answer. We skipped right over hybrid vehicles. We rushed straight to SUVs and EVs that we can't afford. That does not speak to the middle class. We rushed to shut the Keystone Pipeline down, which killed thousands of jobs. That does not speak to the middle class. We're anti-coal, we're anti-nuclear, we're anti-blue collar. We told people, we as in the United States, told people the only degree worth a damn is a STEM degree. All the other degrees don't mean anything. The employers are complicit in favoring that degree, which does what? It keeps people unemployed. Unemployed people drain the system. A drain on the system isn't a drain on the system. It's a drain on you because you pay taxes that support said system. So when we talk about deficit, it's a spin cycle. It's going to get worse and worse unless you cut it off at the pass. We need the blue collar. We need skilled labor to be paid well, that does not require college degrees, that you don't have to be on fast food, that does not have to have excessive automation, that does not have, because unfortunately, the education system is in the crapper. We understand. The reason that identity politics fails each and every time now is because no matter what, when you go that route, those people expose they're not qualified. And when they expose they're not qualified, all it does is waste 4 years. It wastes 4 years of progress that we could be making. I don't mean progress in terms of freaking out over storms. Nobody disagrees that we should make progress towards. But the point is not to leap to something we're not ready for and have a plan and action and strategy that unfortunately is going to piss you off because it's going to take some time. I would remind some people, the government has been yelling about replacing lead pipes for over a decade now. The vast majority of lead pipes are still out there. Things take time. Progress takes time. It sucks, but it takes time. In the meantime, there are opportunities for us to get better. And by better, I mean to stop focusing on identity politics, not even in just the presidency or Congress, and none of that even, in your workplaces, in your personal spaces, to stop focusing on why that matters. Who cares if this job hires a female versus a male, if that's what they chose? There are times that I would love to see more diversity in a workspace, but you can't force it. They got to want it. They got to have the opportunity to get it. They can't be saddled with student loan debt that's a ripoff for a program that's of no value because the government devalued it. Everything has to fall into place. We're not there yet. I don't know that Donald Trump's going to get us to a point of stability, especially not with the Democrats opening up missiles to Russia. What I know is we could not sustain 4 more years of Biden and 4 more years of Obama, and that's what Kamala would have been. Because that's all she knew. She had no other answer. She's openly said on The View, I don't see that I would change anything. That's tone deaf. You already have disqualified yourself. And you've proven. And frankly, if I were a female, I would be I feel disrespected that we can't get a quality female candidate to do the right things to compete on the same level. And it's not because they don't have the opportunities. Because Amy Coney Barrett is in the Supreme Court, and she's probably the most brilliant of the women that I've seen in the entire of the government. But that's rare. That's a needle in the haystack. You don't see somebody that was that hungry and wanted it that bad to go after it like that. We don't see it anymore. That's got to be frustrating when you see somebody like AOC who's just totally inept getting paid 6 figures. It's got to be frustrating, and I understand, but that's our reality. It's not anything to do with Donald Trump. It's not about Trump. It's all competition. If you don't bring your A game, you're going to get washed, and that's what happened. It has nothing to do with the fact she's black. It has nothing to do with the fact she's a female. She didn't bring anything to the table that was worth voting for. And to say that we should just give her the default win because she's black and she's a woman, or to say that we should vote for Obama because he's black, or to say that we should vote for Hillary because she's a female, right there, you don't understand the way our system of government is designed to work, and you are the reason for a lot of the harm people are now suffering under, and you don't even accept that. But if you understand, it's all a competition. What we should be doing is encouraging our kids first to get the best education they can get. Encourage them to take an issue and promote it. Promote what you believe in. Speak about it. Do the right things to get interest in your topic. This isn't to say you should be silent. This is to say that there's a right way to choose how you and debate what you believe and why you believe it and have a strong case. Teach your kids to have a strong case, not just be screaming Greta Thunbergs, but to have a strong case, not just go off data that's been fabricated or in some cases been completely fluffed up to seem worse than it is. Teach them how to, after all of us are gone, push for the change that they want. But you got to level set those kids. Change takes time to do it right. That's always been the case. And I would argue it gets worse in a world of technology because communication has suffered under world technology. There's no communication about these issues back and forth. I don't know for sure, but I think we're on the right track. Time will tell. I'm going to test and hold the new administration's feet to the fire, just like I would do the outgoing one. We have to get everybody back on track, and the economy is number one on my list, at least. Immigration's high, but the economy is number one. Without the economy, we can't do anything. The economy had a surge after Trump won. Some of that didn't trickle down to you and I. So we have to fix, we still got work to do. And I want to give a fair chance to the incoming administration to see if they can pull off what they say they can. I'm not one that's going to just assume doom and gloom, like some of these people who said, they actually said, it'll be the end of mixed marriages if Donald Trump gets in office. Those are the people that don't belong here. They don't belong in America because they are a waste of energy and a waste of oxygen and a waste of space, and in many cases, toxic, damaging, dangerous, and they shouldn't be here because they don't know what the hell they're talking about at all. I don't know what it will take to, quote, heal. What I do know is at the end of the day, I care about the economy. It's probably the one thing, if anybody ever asks me, I'm going to keep repeating, matters more than anything because it affects everybody. That's the difference between me and everybody else. I care about things that affect everybody. And if it does not affect everybody, doesn't mean it doesn't matter. It means it matters less. The economy affects everybody. Whether you realize it or not, it's a downstream impact. And we've got to do better as a country because we can't.